Hello, everybody, and welcome to our official first episode of Nevermind, the podcast which is helping people with mental health and just quite simply just trying to help. I'm Scott Saunders, and I'm joined today with our co-host.
Hi, I'm Chris Evans.
Yeah, Chris, I'm really, really happy to be doing this. How long has it taken us to finally get here right now?
Yeah, it's taken a bit of time, but I think what people get out with the podcast, and this is what I would get out of it, that we're real people, that we're not celebrities, and we're not, we're average Joes, and we can just get on with it. And yes, it does take time, and you've got to take the time out of life to try and help people. And, you know, it will take time to get on the it done, but, you know,
we've so basically, just to tell you guys a bit of a backstory, which you touched on in the intro, but we were both joined together with by my dad, and he knows Chris because he lives in around Wales, and you wanted to do a podcast, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah. So how it all came about, I was having problems with my back, and I went to see your dad, who's a brilliant chiropractor.
Yeah.
Got talking to him, and it was actually November the 1st that last year, that was a year to the day that I actually tried to take my own life. And I got talking to your dad, and a couple of sessions later, got talking about the podcast that I'd like to do and get it out there. And he said, "You need to speak to my son, Scott." And that's where, you know, we hit it off straight away. And
100%.
Do you
know what I like is the perseverance, because there's many times, especially if like everyday life, we all have so many things to deal with. Like if it's not family, kids, job, you know, and everything else. But we've made it here. And we had our first actual episode that we tried to record, didn't we, a week ago, but didn't quite go to plan. So we've done 45 minutes. And it turns out none of it was recorded.
technical hit.
Oh God! But yes,
that's the thing with mental health. Like today, I've really struggled with my mental health this morning.
Yeah,
and I've not wanted to do anything, and I could quite happily sit on the sofa. I've got my two kids at home with me.
Yeah,
and I've made myself go out with my dogs. I've got three Frenchies, and we've gone on a local walk for an hour with others, and then I've come home and I've done gardening, and I've done the garden, and it's what I'm trying to say is it's every person has this battle that I want to contribute to society, I want to be part of something, but you get that knockback, or you get that I can't be asked.
It just pushes you into that void, doesn't it? To not want to do anything. I've been there so many times, man.
You know, and the thing, like we're saying there about the podcast, about this now that's been coming and coming, it would have been quite easy to go, oh, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Bugger it. I don't want to do it, Anthony. Don't want to do it, Scott. Yeah. I'm not having it.
There's almost part of you that not just you, but like in everybody. It's like it's easy just to kind of bail out because you're not in the right mind frame. And for everyone listening, you know, our very first one that we were supposed to do, I was just not in the right place to be able to do it. So we attempted it, and it just wasn't working. I just wasn't in the right mind frame. So I just, hats off to you. But I suppose there's an element of like trying to keep busy and almost like understanding that you're going through that at the time, and not necessarily always trying to do something to like push yourself to do something, you know, but identifying it's a big thing, right?
Yeah, identifying it, and it's taken me a long time to identify it in myself, that when I start to feel like this, and I have in the past locked myself away for the weekends, or I've gone the other way and I've gone out every Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. The next week in work has been
right off
abysmal because you're tired, and you know. But again, I say it. That's normal.
Yeah,
and, you know,
and it's okay, and right?
Then, yeah, it's okay. If that's what, it's okay not to be okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you've got to move on, and don't let things hamper you. Mm. Learn from, this is what I've try and do, learn from what you're trying to do or what you've done, yeah, or how you're feeling, and then that gets a trigger in your head.
Yeah.
Right, I know I feel like this, I need to get in the gym,
yeah,
get gardening, get out on my bike, get with the kids, all these things. And yeah, that's what, you know,
it's like a first step.
But a lot of people suffer as a mental health, and it's a massive spectrum. You know, we're not going to cover, you know, the massive mental health. This is us. What people are going,
yeah,
through, us,
yeah,
day by day, you know. And people, if you looked at your life, Scott, people would go, well, he's been on the telly,
yeah,
he's a good looking lad,
yeah,
he's got a
everything seems to be like partner, yeah, yeah,
yeah. What's he got, you know, yeah, if you looked at my life, that's what people would say. What's he got to be down, well, that's, dump for?
That, do you know, that was one of the things that used to be one of my triggers, was putting pressure on myself, because there's almost like a face value of what everyone expects you to be, especially like when it was closer to the time when I was on TV, for instance, like, yeah, your identity changes and you have lots of people that just have expectations of who you should be. And then when you're not necessarily feeling right, you almost need to put an act on. That's the best way I can describe it, is you put an act on, yeah, to be like worthy of what they're expecting you to be. Or, you know, people just, you kind of like end up, what I was going to try and say here is, there's been times when I've gone through like mental health issues and I've not been good. And like you said earlier, I've beaten myself up about it. And like recently, it's like 90% of the time, because I've done so much work and I've tried, you know, I'm never going to be there, but 90% of the time, everything's fine. But it's that 10%. That sometimes goes wrong and everything around me just like literally falls to pieces. But I've learned as I got a bit older that, you know, you it's okay. Like, there's obviously things that aren't going how you planned, but I used to really take it heavily when I was younger. Like, and then you just go on that cycle again, like either going out drinking or you go on the cycle, yeah, of locking yourself away, and then you've got people trying to contact you and you're just being like, yeah, distant, you know?
And then, or people take it as in, oh, he never answers the phone. He never does this.
Yeah.
Or he lets us down on that.
And it adds to it.
There's a reason why. And it took me years to understand myself, but to see it in others. So
yeah,
when that friend isn't phoning you back, yeah, after 2, 3, 4 days.
Don't get annoyed about it.
Or a text message. Is there another issue,
exactly,
that they're not feeling it?
Yeah.
Or, you know, The easiest therapy that I've, you know, all the battles that I've been through for the last 2, 3 years, the easiest thing is my best friends reaching out and,
yeah,
going,
yeah,
how are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you up to? And taking interest, because, you know, I know we shouldn't do, but we still go back to the last 3, 4 years of the COVID and the
and that made a huge impact. Like, it changed everybody's lives.
Yeah, and it did it not show the true colours of some people in our society when,
true,
you know, we had teenagers, we had, you know, my children that go to primary school, because they weren't having that face-to-face contact, they went inside themselves, yeah, never mind about their education, but their actual well-being, they went inside themselves. That's why, you know, not the severe stuff that, yeah, happened to me, but my children know,
yeah,
that it's okay not to be okay, and
that's,
if they're not,
I really respect that, because from your experiences you're now like doing your best to ensure that you're passing that on. Do you mind if I just like ask the question of like today, for instance? Because like for me, it's like one day could be great, another day could be great, and all of a sudden out of nowhere I'll have like a bad day or a bad week. What did you do this morning, or how did you feel this morning, and how did you kind of like combat that?
So yesterday I went out, it was me, partner's uncle's birthday,
yeah,
we went to the Wirral.
Nice.
Lovely meal, family meal.
Would you go for anything nice?
To Gusto's, an Italian.
Nice. Brilliant. Yeah, good.
I'm trying to shy away from having the meat all the time, because that can give you a full feeling and it's not nice.
Yeah.
So I went down, had the risotto, which was different.
Very good.
Yes. Come back. Come back. I had a beer. Came back. Everything was brilliant. Mm. And then this morning I woke up and I've gone, I can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
And it's my partner's gone to work. I've got responsibilities as a dad to my little boy and little girl, Samson and Evie.
And the pressure just hits home.
Yeah. And quite easily you could lie in bed all day.
Yeah, I've done that many times.
Yeah. So naturally, as everybody does in this country now or in this world, straight onto Facebook, scrolling through Facebook, saw that there was a local event in the local restaurant down the road, the White House, that they were doing their monthly walk-in. Right, we're going. Right,
so you just made that choice, like just right there and then. Look, I've got to get a snap out of this almost.
Yeah. You've got to push myself through. Push myself. So went on it. Went for an hour. Me and I think there was about 20, 30 of us.
Nice.
Went for a walk round. Only an hour down the little lanes. Came back home and felt energized then.
Yeah,
and
it's changing.
That brought. Yeah, doing the garden, planting. See, people have a misconception about me, and hopefully in time people on that might see a picture of me. I'm an imposing fella. I've got a big beard. I've covered in tattoos. Yeah. Naturally, I've got a deep voice.
Yeah. So
if you knew what I like weightlifting or gym, but I like...
The peaceful
gardening.
Stuff.
Yeah. I like creating stuff. I like
me too.
That's what gives me, and it's that. That's what gives me. That's what gives me peace.
Do you know?
Not going.
Go on, sorry.
Go on.
Yeah.
Not going out and getting hammered. Yeah. Not getting out because a lot of people don't understand the reason why people are drinking.
Well, that's the,
a lot of people.
That's the consequences of like. It's a spiral. I kind of go into a system. As soon as I start drinking, as soon as I start to be like, oh, I'm going to go out, that's when it can go wrong. I almost can't even trust myself to go out now and not want to have another drink when I get home. It's kind of like become so normal for me where it's like some people can just go home and that's that. But that's the kind of truth. And then that kind of like changes my narrative for the next week. It kind of makes things a bit more harder. And then I have to almost snap out of it over like either quickly or over a period of time. But then I also feel just touching on what you're saying. It's like, I think I do that because I find things that may have been stressful or pressure. I do it for two things. Either I'm in a mood, so I'll drink. I'm not like an alcoholic or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, like, yeah, I drink. Or if I'm doing well, I'm like, oh, okay, oh, I deserve a drink tonight. So most of the times they're the things that push it into the wrong mode after. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with going out for a drink. I've got really good mates. We do go for a drink every couple of months and we'll have a few beers. Yeah. And, you know, but it's when, like you, when I've been on family outings or like family do's and I'm having another and it won't be a beer, I'm having a neat JD. You know, it's midweek, what are you doing? But it's I know loads of people that do it and when they start to drink and they go over the
threshold,
that's when the gates open and it's I've done this. This is what's happening to me.
It all starts to come out.
It comes out and it takes that. Perhaps that's what's missing with me, but I don't feel I need to have a drink to tell people for my gates to be open, if you know.
Well, maybe that's what everyone can learn from then. It's like we don't need to have a drink to be able to feel free to speak freely.
But we still have that. It doesn't matter how long the mental health's been here.
Yeah,
it's okay. We've got the better practitioners. We've got the better services. Mm. but it's the actual in society, and it's society what rules everything.
Yeah.
So that's why people are buying massive cars, getting themselves mm-hmm. stuck in massive debts, massive houses, massive mortgages, lose it. It's because society is telling you that you need that.
It's like keeping up with the Joneses, isn't it? It's we use, I think, like social media in some aspects. I mean, in very, very small amounts, I think it is actually good. So, like, you know, social media, I find, puts a lot of pressure on. And I think people pretend to have a life that they might not perhaps have. And we all put things of the best versions on social media. But in actual facts, like, you know, we don't necessarily need all of this stuff. Like, material things aren't always the things that do make us happy. But it's something we all feel obliged to do. Like, you know, I've got this and I'm doing this and my life's like this way. I just feel it's difficult to, you know...
When you brush the dust away, this is what in the last few months, because I lost my mum last year.
Sorry to hear that, man.
This what you only have is memories. So you can have all these trinkets if you like.
Yeah.
What you can, but in the last ebbing moments of your life, It means nothing, does it? It means nothing. And, you know, why, you know, we spoke about having a Harley and that. Why I bought that, it's because I'm using it for...
A good cause.
But I always wanted one. And I've tried, and I've got one, and I love it. But I've only got that because... I can afford to get it, but there's so many people.
That's a luxury, isn't it? You can't just go out and buy that. For the people that can't, I suppose it's like there's so many different people that are going through so many different things on a day to day basis. I kind of like it's hard to pinpoint a particular, I don't know, scenario. But let's say, for instance, you know, Monday blues, because most people, you know, they're shitting themselves before they go to work on the Monday, either because they've gone out, you know, or they just don't really like their jobs and stuff. Yeah. What's the small things that people can do, do you reckon, that can make that a little bit lighter? You know, what kind of things have worked for yourself?
So for another reason, I've had to get all my medical notes from my GP. So in 2007, that is when the signs of my mental health started showing its head of going on antidepressants, the citalopram and the sertraline, all that. And then it went on and on and then. And then 2014 to 2018.
So you was on them from since 2007 and then to 2014, like on different medication.
But what as well, and it's only from my mental health first aid in training has shown me and I've seen, is you have yo-yo users.
Right.
So they'll go on it, they'll feel a lesser person, especially with men.
Yeah.
They feel lesser person that they have to be on this.
Yeah.
So they self-medicate with drink.
Yeah, and drugs. And drugs as well.
And drugs. And it messes up either their prescriptions or they just go, I'm not taking that.
Yeah.
So I was sporadic on that. And then between 2014 to 2017, I found the gym. I had a training partner in work. I moved a new job.
Good.
And I had a training partner. And that's what kept me mind focused. And that was one of the things that helped me. You know, in the next few episodes, we're going to have people, you know, a world champion powerlifter that, him lifting weights keeps his mind in check.
Yeah.
And
so I'd love to hear more about that and how he what he deals with those, you know.
You know, you have this coping mechanism, and that's what I found helpful.
Yeah.
And then in 2018-19, the place that I was working introduced a computer system. Now, the listeners will know in full course that I'm severely dyslexic.
Yeah.
I can't read and write. I have a real battle with it. I've had the diagnosis later on in my life, and that's affected my mental health. But my mental health has been affected because I can't spell, I can't read and write, I can't use computers. Now, that actual issue with the computer in work, that made me feel terrible.
I think that was probably enough to just like throw you off and yeah, stress you out before you even got there on a daily basis. I mean,
you know, I'd be phoning, I'd have to rely on my, I think he's about 62, 63, work colleague to spell on my emails.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that people say, yeah, but you used to laugh about it and that, because people will, that is how
that's
I
how, that's how
things.
People, yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's more of a laugh, a joke, a bit of banter.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and mine was, my anything to do with my mental health or my dyslexia, I make a dark humour. That's what
I know. That's how it goes when I was with you.
Yeah, and it, because if you didn't laugh about it, it would get to you, and you would feel terrible. And to me, it's better to laugh about it. Take it on board that you're feeling like that, and learn the triggers and learn the outlet that you need, because that's what a lot of people haven't got, especially now with the current climate that we're living in. That the services that people reach out to are not there.
But the thing, you were talking about the gym earlier, and this, because especially last year for me, I had a really, probably one of my heaviest years. I mean, it really tested my mental strength, I think. And just to go back a little bit, so I've got a daughter, and was separated quite young. And essentially, lots of stuff happened, which we'll talk about, not in depth, but in, you know, in another episode. Yeah. But I had my daughter full time. I moved to London with my current partner. And we basically needed to, I needed to take her to school, but she lived her school was an hour away. So because her mum wasn't around at the time, we changed our lives and stuff. But I was doing 5 hours a day on travel to school and back whilst working. And it was the first time in my life that I'd experienced, I always lived by myself. It was the first time that I lived with my partner, and I had my daughter there as well. And Rosie, you know, she's just like the most amazing person. I'm so like lucky to have her in my life. But at the time it was really stressful. And what I did use was the gym, and there were times, but sometimes it's really difficult to fit this stuff in. And the one thing I do find, there's two things at the gym. It was like my savior. But then if I'd stopped, it would only take me 3 or 4 days until, and then it would get to a week, and then it will stop for like a few weeks. And then I would find it hard to get back into it. Or the second thing is, I don't know if other people have ever got this, but when I go to the gym, I don't know if it releases more testosterone, but I would sometimes get a bit more aggy quicker because I was like working out so much. So I had
It's releasing your endorphins. That's what it's doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same feeling as you get when you turn up. If I give you a scenario, so the Harley Davidson that I bought was £11,500.
Wow, that's got to be a piece of kit.
I turned up to the house, not even talk to my partner of 10 years about it. I just turned up with the bike. Now, that endorphin is the same release you get when you're spending money.
Yeah.
You're in the gym,
I suppose drinks got to be the same.
In chocolate, you're making love. All of it is around about the same thing, endorphins.
Yeah. So we always kind of searching, I think, aren't we, for that boost of endorphins to make us feel like alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes they're not good things, right? So like, let's say drugs, for instance, you know, there's particular drugs where you get an instant hit, but then it's very short lived, and then the aftermath is a lot worse. And that's, you know, I do have, you know, some experience in that stuff in my life. Yeah, yeah. So, you know,
but it's so, like with the gym, what my outlet was, I was doing powerlifting, but the training partner I had was he was an ex-doorman. He was 110% knew what he was doing with weight.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't in that gym at 6 o'clock in the morning,
he'd be on you.
He'd be on me. And that I would be there waiting for the gym to open. But like you say, miss a week, miss 2 weeks.
It all goes out the window.
And that's really, really hard. And, you know, that's why I don't like having, if I go to the gym now, I don't like it. I have my phone for my music, but I don't like it because it's so distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you get these people that are in the gym and they're focused and they're throwing weights around. I've got a couple of friends whose partners go females, and they don't have any, they don't have no phones, no nothing. They come in and do an hour.
Go and smash it out. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's
good enough, right? It's good enough.
I'd just like to say that the gym that I go to is a council gym.
Yeah.
It's run by DLL, Denby Leisure's Services, and they actually, mine is through the doctor.
Oh, wow.
It is,
so you can do that? You can set that up?
Yeah. This is what, you know, when we were saying, what can people do?
Yeah.
You have to own your own mental health. It's personal to me. Yeah. Yours is personal to you, Scott. Yeah. Mine is personal to me. And you have to go, right, I need to do something.
I need some help.
And if that is going to see Samaritans, going to see or talk to Samaritans, going to see a counsellor if you can afford it.
Yeah.
But go and see the doctor and say, I have got this problem and I need help. Reach out to a friend that, you know, I've had around COVID times, I put a video out on Facebook about how we need to be more empathetic. We need to be more engaged with our friends. Yeah. We need all this community, how the whole pandemic has split communities.
I think it's opened up a lot of awareness from everyone's experiences, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, what mine came from, why I did that, is because there was one of my good friends, he was doing the push-up challenge, press-up challenge. I was far too fat to be doing that. So
you're a little fat.
I put this out because one of my good friends, who hopefully I would like to get on this podcast.
Everyone's welcome, man. Anyone's got a story, they've got to be heard.
Yeah, yeah. But he actually phoned me 2-3 weeks before, and he'd actually had to take his brother down from the tree that
commit suicide?
Yeah, so he completed his suicide. Now, This is something that it triggered the thoughts that what I'd done.
Yeah.
Because I tried to end my life 15 years before, and people are,
a lot of people think it's selfish. They always say, like, you know, that's a selfish behavior, but it's not the mentality that one would have at the time. Like, when you're in a dark place, when you're in a place where you don't see any way out, where you feel like no one understands you, where you feel like there's no other route. Like, those thoughts do go through your head. And I don't know what the percentage is or whatever, but it is dark. It's a horrible place to be. And to even go that far, it's almost like after that's happened, people are then like, oh, we should have done more. Like, we could have done more. We could have, you know, but it's too late sometimes.
Yeah. You have to, like, with mine, you know, and I'm one of millions that have tried it, and, you know, some have completed it and some haven't. And for that split second thought, because that's all it was, and that's all these antidepressants are doing, are suppressing changing the chemical imbalance in your brain. Yeah. That's all they're doing.
It kind of suppresses it, doesn't it? It's like a layer.
Yeah. Yeah, but it suppresses everything. That's what you have to, and that's what I didn't like in the beginning of taking them. I went to a family funeral with my dad's best friend. We used to call him Uncle Eric. He was, you know, he brought us up. He was always there in the house with my auntie, that his wife, Auntie Betty, that taught me how to read and write. And he died, and it was quite horrendous how he died. And we went to his funeral, and I couldn't shed a tear. And my sister, who as well was Sue, my partner, has helped me with my mental health, said to me, "You're not even crying." And I said, "I can't.
Yeah.
It suppresses everything."
Yeah.
And then you'd see something on telly, Coronation Street, EastEnders, and you'd be in floods of tears.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And that feeling
that can't be nice.
Oh my God, why am I being like this? Yeah. This is stupid. You know, I started working nights at this time. So I was traveling, I think 40, 45 minutes. You were eating because a lot
of eating to do shit, with your, like, probably yeah, quick eating, fast yeah, food, yeah. like things that would yeah. just hit that at that time at that spot.
So you're eating Chinese takeaways at 3 o'clock
doesn't
in the
help.
Morning.
Yeah.
No. And it's a lot with your mental health as well is what you're putting in your body, not the just the drug and the drink, yeah. but the actual food. So you're living on shit. You're going to end up feeling like shit, and you know it's just a vicious circle because you'll go, I can't be bothered going to the gym. Yeah. I'll eat rubbish. The rubbish makes me put weight on. I feel bad about myself. And it's a massive. But again, Scott, we're not on our own with this.
I've started to understand more. I think a lot more people are open about mental health, and I think especially in myself, like. You know, I only accepted help like last year and all the years prior to that. I mean, it would dip, you know, sometimes I wouldn't really have much, you know, issues and things were going fine. But then there was the times when they really weren't. And I kept on thinking and saying to myself, right, I can sort this out myself. I can, you know, I'm going to do this and do this. The problem was it would only be for so long. So I would do really good changes and I'd you know, go on the right path more, but then it would at some point always go downhill. And what I had to do last year was just say, do you know what? I need to accept that I need to accept help. And that's where, you know, some people aren't, you know, as fortunate to be able to have a partner or people that are close to them. And some people are, you know, it's different for everybody. But for me, that's what really helped me was just listening to my partner and just hearing that it's affecting her as well. And it's not something I wanted to ever put her through. And look, don't get me wrong. Things aren't, you know, I'm never going to be completely okay. But what I did was I actually reached out and, you know, with the information that she provided and other people and stuff, I'd actually started to get help. And because the thing is, like, NHS and stuff like that, you kind of, as a man especially, it's like, I'm not doing that. Like, you know, there'll be people that will take, you know, go out and take drugs at the weekend and drink and stuff like that, but they won't take medication because they think it's going to be, you know, but it's self-medicating. It's not right.
That's what makes me always laugh, that you have these... I'm not putting that shit in my body. It doesn't.
You're
lines and lines. It's probably brick dust that you put.
Exactly.
I've never got the. You know, when I've gone down that path in my younger days, and
I think a lot of people do these days. A lot more than it used to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, but it's so readily available. That's you know. But like my partner's a support worker around North Wales, and she said it's not the drugs that are killing people. Because the drugs are so expensive. Mm. It's the actual drink. That's what's killing
people. Well, that's the starting point for a lot of people. It starts off with the drink, then it leads on to that. And also, that leads on to things like gambling. I mean, I've seen all of these things. I've had experiences in a lot of this stuff. And it's always a kind of a catalyst. There's always that one thing. It's a decision where people might be like, oh, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do that. And then what happens is it just goes through a spiral. But just to bring it back, what I was saying was sometimes it's not unmanly, it's not unworthy of yourself to go, do you know what? Maybe I do need help and maybe I might try it and see what happens. And things like NHS, they actually helped me. I ended up getting a therapist, you know, and there was other stuff. But, you know... It helped at the time, and people around me could see that those things helped. And my friends in the Samaritans, and you talk about Samaritans as well. Like,
sometimes it's
good to speak to people that aren't your closest people because you know they know you, and they've got a certain respect for you, haven't they? So, sometimes good to talk to people like Samaritans.
You know, I reached out last 2 years or a year ago to the Samaritans on that day that I hung myself at home, and that 3 months was just a blur. And if it wasn't for the likes of my partner Sue and my therapist Jackie and my GP and the mental health team that were around me and most of all as well, my friends and family that would check in, you know, and when we say that we have, you have friends with mental health issues, that can divide friendships massively.
Yeah.
And it can bring some together and it can split them. And that's what it's done, a massive part of me. Friends that I did feel guilty because they would say, you're selfish, because they'd had traumas of young people in their family dying through cancers and car accidents.
Yeah.
So me trying to take my own life was...
They just can't understand that. Because they think it's not as bad. How can you do that when it's not as bad? But they don't know what's going on in your head.
Yeah, but this is, you know, going back 20 years. If I felt like this, as I do now, 20 years ago, and or somebody reached out to me, the first thing I would say is, get a grip of yourself. Yeah. What you got, until you have it, it is horrible. To sit in a room and to think, you know, we can have the music going on, the kids can be running around, or we can be in a family do, and I, in my head, and it's not, you're not thinking about it for hours, in that head, in my head, it goes, I'm going to kill myself tonight.
Yeah.
And then it goes out.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, it's normal. And I've spoken to loads of people, and they'll say, oh, I used to have mental health. I think you're deluded.
It's always there.
It's always there. It's just you found some way of dealing with it. And, you know, it's, people will say, well, what a selfish person you are to do that when you've got kids at home and you've got your partner, you've got a lovely house, you've got your...
But sometimes,
that goes out the window. People, you know, I've seen people who have completed suicides, families after the event, and that obliterated the whole family. The lady that taught me to read and write, my Auntie Betty, her son actually did away with himself in a car outside his house. Horrendous.
That's horrible. And
I think I was 16.
That's horrific.
For as long as I can remember after that.
That's going to affect
you. It affected that family, because he was the only son. Him and his dad were the best of mates. He was a very clever lad, John. But it obliterated that family. So I knew what would happen, you know. I know in a few other podcasts we're going to actually get people on. So my partner would like to come on to talk about
what it's like to deal with being around mental health.
So for that three months after me trying to do what I did, she couldn't go out. Yeah. She couldn't.
Everyone gets worried. Everyone gets absolutely stupidly worried. And sometimes that doesn't help, because then they're worried and they're checking in. So often it's almost like, I'm okay now. And the funny thing is, there's times when I've like, I'm okay now. I'm literally 2 days. They're like, oh no, I'm absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not always quite right. Yeah. And another thing I just want to say is like, it's okay if you don't need to compare yourself to anybody. It doesn't matter what you're thinking or why you're thinking it. It's not necessarily like you have to feel bad about that. Or what we're trying to say here is basically like, just because one person's had another experience, you can't compare why you're feeling like you are to other people that have had a worse experience, because everyone's different. Everyone's been brought up differently. Everyone's had different experiences. And sometimes, like, just out of nowhere, you may not feel good at all. You don't know what to do about it, and you don't talk to anybody. You then start to slip away, and then it starts to go through that spiral again. But at those trigger points, and I think for everybody, it might be worth, you know, just the next time these things start to happen in your mind, just write it down at that moment. Get a book. Don't just dedicate this book to your to just call your mental health book or whatever. So every time you feel like something like that, write it down why you're feeling like that, and then write underneath, it's okay. And then you know, little things like that might help, because they've helped me.
Mine is one of my coping mechanisms, and this is a lot of people that do it. They have they change their perception, or they have a look. Yeah?
Yeah.
So my look is big, covered in tattoos all over my legs, yeah, all over my chest, all over my arms, big beard.
Proper biker.
That's how I am.
Proper biker.
Yeah,
biker.
That, you know, when people have said to me, "Oh my God, why did you try and do that? That's not what you're so
not expected from someone like you." Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you think that
they're not there after? Right, in your day to day,
you've got a perception. You know, because I'm not sitting at home and down in the dumps or on the pity potty, yeah, as they call it. You deem it that I shouldn't have any mental health, or yeah, I've got a nice house and yeah, brilliant family, and
I think
it's in your head.
It, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And you know, I had a I wouldn't say a discussion, an argument, but a heated conversation with a family member a couple of weeks ago, and they said these people with depression and yeah, and that, they should just need to get a grip. You know,
that's a great way to approach it.
And I said, what if them people can't? What do you mean? I said, what if they've not got that coping mechanism in them that they cannot go and
just be okay?
Out?
Yeah.
Yeah, be okay. What
do you think people really want to be like that? Like, they're making a choice to make sure that they're not.
No.
It's not the case.
No. You know, we need to be much more in this. I don't know if it's just the UK, but it's what I've seen. We need to be more understanding with what people are going through. And if it is a sit down and a chat and a coffee, how are you doing? You know, that's, to me, that's more worth 100 times more than anything else. You know, my partner has started with my two kids now.
Yeah.
When they go to a supermarket, my partner will buy two bouquets of flowers, only a couple of quid. Yeah. And when they're walking out, they'll go and say, "Can you give that to this person, man, woman, kid, anything?"
That's well and nice,
people,
man.
People are taken aback by it.
Absolutely.
I did it a few weeks ago, and you know, I don't film it. It's nothing.
No, and that's,
I know people.
Yeah,
film
there's
it,
all this stuff on social media where people trying to get like likes and views just by doing this and helping like homeless people out, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, so I was going to work a couple of months ago, and I went into a takeaway on the way on the dual carriageway, and I walked in. There was a big queue. There must have been about 20 people in there. So there was a fella in front of me. So we ordered a bacon butty and a latte, and I said, "Can I have two of them?"
Yeah,
and he went. He was so taken aback, yeah, and everybody was like, "Do you know him?"
We're so similar, Chris. Honestly,
I said. All I ask is pass that on.
Pass it on. Well, yeah,
But it was so foreign to somebody.
Well, people do not receive that. Like, they don't know how to deal with it because it's so outside their normal day to day life.
Yeah.
But giving is basically what I'm getting out of this. Giving just out of not wanting to receive can be such a big difference. And I suppose just before we're kind of going to finish this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you? I think I want to basically do something. It's like food for thought. You know, at the end of each podcast, we have something which we should all maybe take away and just think about it. My one is, you know, if you've got those friends that you might not have spoken to for a long time, or if you've got people that you know have had mental health issues, and you know, you're not necessarily, you need to be in a position yourself to be able to, you know, help some ways, but sometimes just reach out, just see, you know, maybe just reach out to somebody that you haven't for a while, or you know, do something in this week that you wouldn't have normally done that is leading towards maybe a goal of yours that you've wanted to do. That's all I'm asking. You know, what's yours? Yeah, what have you got? Anything?
I'm totally with you there, Scott. You know, check in on your friends and your family. You know, family members, just to sit down and go, this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? And there is help out there. You know, in our next coming podcast, we will put out the Samaritans numbers.
Yeah.
Then, and you know, the teenagers helpline. You know, old people that are living on their own. There is help out there.
100%.
But if you've got somebody in your circle of friends that maybe you've not seen for, or the last time you saw them, there was a conflict. Just reach out. Yeah. A text message. It's faceless, yeah. but it
one person
something.
Can make such a difference to another person's life.
Yeah.
And
and reach out.
Yeah.
And remember, it's okay not to be okay.
It's okay to not be okay. 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, next time we are looking to. We're going to be bringing in some. Well, I'll be honest with you. We're actually just putting together all of our guests in a nice kind of schedule. But we are watch this space, and we're really looking forward to just taking you all on this journey with us. And I've also got a social media platform called Your Linked, and we are setting up a group on there where we can all communicate, talk, find out information, get help, and have the phone numbers of people that need help. Don't know what to do. So thank you so much for listening. And
brilliant.
Chris, it's been we're one podcast down.
one podcast down. It's good that we're doing it. It's all positivity. Let's try and, you know, in this year break that barrier down that it's actually okay for if we're going men's health, men's well-being, to actually go, mate, I want to go for a walk down the beach with you.
Doesn't always need to be a beer.
You're doing.
Yep.
No, doesn't have to be a beer. Yep. We're going out and we're having a chat.
100%.
Just to see how you're getting on.
And on that note as well, you can always shout me whenever you want. You said the same thing to me when I wasn't feeling too well. Straight away, I got a text from a message from you saying, you know, a WhatsApp, and I says text these days. Like, Scott, if you need to talk, just reach out, and the same goes to you.
Yeah, reach out.
Yeah, man.
Reach out, and that's what it's about. It only takes a text message, or, you know, it just makes all the difference.
It
needs to be, it needs to be spoken about, and it needs to be understood. But no, can't wait for the next podcast, Scott.
And you have a spectacular week, Chris. Thanks so much for your time.
And
roll on number two.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.